Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current events and public policy in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. As I've often said on this program, my purpose is not to report on every single event that the mainstream media is focusing on in any given week. My purpose is to teach you the eternal principles in the scriptures so that you can discern and understand front page news. There are so many other outlets reporting on the news, telling you either the conservative or the liberal interpretation of events, but most of that commentary is not grounded in a biblical worldview. So the interpretation and the emphasis is all wrong, even among conservative commentators. And the Christian who is knowledgeable in the Word, when reading even conservative periodicals like the Weekly Standard or the National Review, or listening to conservative talk show hosts, that Christian is able to say, these commentators are close, but they miss the point here and here and here. Remember Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9, the wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what kind of wisdom do they have? Now, what I would like to discuss today is the ministry of Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet. And the prophet Jeremiah has particular relevance to our ministry as Christians today because, like us, Jeremiah was ministering in a time of national apostasy. He was ministering right before the collapse of the nation. He saw it coming, he prophesied about it, but he was hated by the people for that message. Most Christians have a general idea that Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, a prophet foretelling the doom of the nation. But it takes a greater in-depth study into the book of Jeremiah to understand fully what was going on in Jeremiah's ministry. Most Christians miss this. And when you discover the details of Jeremiah's ministry, it may cause you to rethink many of your political assumptions. Most Christians don't realize that Jeremiah was accused of being unpatriotic. Jeremiah was in effect telling the king and the elders of Israel that Babylon was going to win and Israel needed to surrender to the Babylonians. Jeremiah 21:10. For I've set my face against this city for harm and not for good, declares the Lord. It will be given into the hands of the king of Babylon, and he will burn it with fire. Jeremiah 22:25. I will give you into the hands of those who are seeking your life, yes, into the hands of those you dread, even into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hands of the Chaldeans. Jeremiah 25:11. This whole land will be a desolation and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Jeremiah 27:6. Now I've given all of these lands into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant. And it will be that any nation or kingdom which will not serve him, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish that nation with the sword. In Jeremiah 32:5, Jeremiah tells the king of Israel, Zedekiah, if you fight against the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, you will not succeed. Now, can you imagine, in the 1970s, some Christian preacher in America, a Billy Graham type figure, telling America to surrender to the Russians? Now, given the spiritual condition of America back in the 1970s, that would not have been the will of God. But the day may come when America becomes so immoral that godly Christian leaders hear from the Spirit of God that it's time for judgment, that it's not time to be patriotic and defend one's nation. And in that day, both conservatives and liberals will fight against that assessment from God, just like in the days of Jeremiah. There was an interesting article in the National Review by David French entitled Mourning in America. Remember, that was a slogan used by Ronald Reagan in his campaign? That America was not in her last days, but at the beginning of her greatest days. And that message sold well with the public. People want to hear a positive message. Remember, Lincoln also communicated a positive message in the midst of the Civil War, in the Gettysburg Address. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, but that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people and by the people and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Well, Jeremiah the prophet, in his day, was giving the opposite message. That the nation would not have a new birth of freedom. That Israel's days were over. And because of that, Jeremiah was not only hated by the people, he was emotionally devastated. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. O Lord, you have deceived me and I was deceived. You have overcome me and prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction. Because for me, the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. It's not a lot of fun to preach a negative message. But oftentimes, that is our calling from God. Anyway, back to David French's article. The point he makes in this article is that a politician can no longer say it is mourning in America like Ronald Reagan. Quote, it is time for conservatives to turn the page. It is no longer mourning in America. To echo Barack Obama, the nation has fundamentally changed. Then French goes on to explain that back in the early 1980s, America is far more culturally and religiously homogeneous, with more stable families than today. The culture was strong, but the politics were weak. To put it another way, when Reagan came to office, the culture was primed for resurgence. A good president had only to create the right conditions for success. Reagan was pushing the throttle on an economy still largely populated by intact families. Only 14% of births were to unmarried women. Today, that number has more than doubled. And at the same time, today, Americans no longer agree on many of the most basic tenets of faith and morality. We don't agree on what's right. America's deepest beliefs have shifted. And surveys show Christians declining sharply as a share of the American population. So David French concludes, it can be mourning in America, but that mourning will not come primarily through politics. And he goes on to write, now is not the time for mourning in America, but for mourning in America. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Well, is David French correct? Has there been such a cultural shift in America that rather than encouraging Christians with the hope of a bright earthly future, we need to begin to prepare the Christian community for coming days of decline and judgment? That America is no longer that shining light on a hill. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of downing of America like that of President Obama's pastor, Jeremiah Wright, who said it's not God bless America, but God curse America. I'm talking about a true godly grief and a proper assessment like that of the true Old Testament prophet, Jeremiah. I'm sure you know that right now, among Christian conservatives, there's a quiet debate between those few who are saying America is gone. And those who are saying, no, that's discouraging, counterproductive talk. America's only gone if you give up by telling people it's gone. And America has seen worse moral times than these. Well, who is right? The America is gone crowd? Or those saying, with a little bit of effort, we can fix America? Well, I'm not going to answer that question. I believe over the next few years, true believers are going to discern from the signs of the times which position is right. Just like the early Christians in the first century soon came to understand that Jerusalem's days were over. And just like Christians in the fourth century soon came to realize that they were no longer to defend the Roman Empire, but to accept its overthrow in a new program of God. So, the prophet Jeremiah was a political outcast in his day. He was actually accused of sneaking out of Jerusalem and going over to the Babylonians to get his orders. That's Jeremiah chapter 37. Then Jeremiah was put in prison, hung by ropes in a mud pit, because he was accused of discouraging the Jews from patriotically fighting against the Babylonian invasion. That's chapter 38. Verse 4, then the official said to the king, "Now let this man Jeremiah be put to death, inasmuch as he's discouraging the men of war who are left in this city and all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man is not seeking the well-being of this people, but rather their harm." Imagine living in a day when, as a Christian, you're accused of harming your nation. And those days are coming where Christians will be called the enemies of the nation, the enemies of the human race, just like they were called those things in the days of the Roman Empire. Because in the future, we are not going to be supportive of the direction of our secular government, or supportive of the New World Order, or the global empire of the Antichrist and his economic system. The world will be saying they're creating a society that's just and fair and inclusive, and we, like Jeremiah, will look like obstructionists. So to sum up this first point, keep in mind that days are coming when the true prophet of the Lord is going to bring a message that people, even conservatives, don't want to hear. The true message will be called traitorous and scandalous. Now, second point I want to bring up about Jeremiah is that not just the public was against him, but also the mainstream preachers of that day. He was a religious pariah. And these religious leaders who were against Jeremiah were not radical Baal worshipers. They claimed to be worshipers of Jehovah God. They were men who professed loyalty to the temple and to the law of Moses. But they were mistaken in their understanding of the seriousness of the nation's sins and the holiness of God. They underrated and they misapplied the promises of God, applying the promises of God to people to whom the promises of God did not apply. And they actually were accusing Jeremiah of lacking faith in the power of God. Now, we have to understand the dynamics here. In time past, God delivered Israel from her attacking enemies. Under Hezekiah, the Assyrian army was surrounding Jerusalem, and there was no humanly possible way for Israel to win. But the people and the king prayed to the Lord, and God destroyed the Assyrian army. And in Jeremiah's day, the people assumed God would again come to their aid if they cried out to him. And they had the promise of 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." But now Jeremiah comes with the message that the word of the Lord is not to pray for this people. God would not hear their intercession. Jeremiah 7:16, "As for you, do not pray for this people, and do not lift up cry or prayer for them. And do not intercede with me, for I will not hear you." Jeremiah 14:12, "When they fast, I am not going to listen to their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I'm not going to accept them. Rather, I am going to make an end to them by sword and famine and pestilence." And Jeremiah, writing in the book of 2 Chronicles, wrote that the word of the Lord was that God would not forgive Israel for all of the innocent blood spilled under King Manasseh. The abortion and the child sacrifice. 2 Chronicles 23:25. After King Manasseh, Josiah turned to the Lord with all of his heart. But Jeremiah writes, however, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath, which his anger burned against Judah, because of all the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also from my sight, as I have removed Israel, and I will cast off Jerusalem, this city which I have chosen, and the temple of which I said, my name shall be there. Now the false prophets, on the other hand, were saying that if the people, the Jews, would exercise faith, Israel would once again be saved, just like it was saved under David and Gideon and Hezekiah. And even the king of Israel, Zedekiah, called upon Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah 21:2, he said, please inquire of the Lord on our behalf, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is warring against us. Perhaps the Lord will deal with us according to all of his wonderful acts, so that the enemy will withdraw from us. King Zedekiah was looking at the past history of Israel and their past deliverances, and he thought that that could be applied to them in their day. Do you see what the people in Jeremiah's day were expecting from the Lord? But given the sinful culture of Israel at that time, Israel was not in the same place before God. If Gideon were alive in the days of Jeremiah, the kind of faith that would take on the Midianites with just 300 men would not work. And the kind of faith of Hezekiah that held out against the Assyrians would not work. So you see what these other prophets were getting wrong? They misjudged the spiritual condition of the nation. And so they were applying biblical promises to people to whom those promises did not apply. And that was Jeremiah's message to these prophets. Jeremiah 23:17. They, the false prophets, keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, calamity will not come upon you. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14. They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abominations they have done? They were not ashamed at all. They didn't even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall at the time that I punish them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Now understand that the people were religious. They went to the temple of the Lord and they cried out, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. But their worldly worship and their personal immorality was offensive to God. Jeremiah 7:8. Behold, you're trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery and swear falsely and offer sacrifices to Baal and walk after other gods that you have not known and then come and stand before me in my house, which is called by my name, and say, we're delivered? Am I going to deliver you so that you will continue to do all of these abominations? And this really applies to America today. Expect to see in the days of America's decline, many evangelical preachers saying that America is not at her end, that with faith we can save the nation. All because they soft sell, or rather do not see the seriousness of America's sins. Many popular preachers live in their ivory palaces. They surround themselves with churchy people, so they don't see, they don't acknowledge the wickedness that's being committed in our streets. Jeremiah 7:17. Do you not see what's being done in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem? Jeremiah 2:23. How can you say, I'm not defiled? Look at your ways in the valley. Know what you have done. Jeremiah 2:35. Yet you say I'm innocent. Surely God's anger is turned away from me. Behold, I will enter into judgment with you because you say I have not sinned. A listener recently sent me an article from a well-known charismatic periodical. And this Christian teacher stated that America was on the brink of revival, that the days always looked the darkest before the dawn. And God's current judgment on our sin is a sign that blessing's about to come. In another article, several faith leaders were asked about the future of America. They all had to agree that there were troubles ahead, what they called series of shakenings. But they all professed a great deal of hope for America. That if the church repents and turns to God, America could experience a great awakening again. But we have to be careful with that kind of assessment, because that's what the false prophets were saying in Jeremiah's day. Those false prophets had to admit that Israel was in trouble, but they were also saying if we cry out to Jehovah God and we amend our ways, the nation can be saved, just like it's been saved in the past. But the problem was these false prophets did not understand the times that were upon them. As Jeremiah wrote, the prophets were speaking a vision of their own imagination, their own opinions, but not from the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah 23:16. They truly didn't understand the mind of God, nor the holiness of God. And let me also mention that during the threat of the Babylonian invasion, the Jews actually repented, in part. They released all of their slaves, committing themselves to obeying the sabbatical laws for the year of Jubilee, the year of release. This is in Jeremiah 34. They even stopped sacrificing to false gods. They returned to the worship of Jehovah God. That's mentioned in Jeremiah 44. There was a temporary revival in religion, but it was not sincere. It was too little, too late. Remember, the true prophet of God, Jeremiah, looked like the faithless one. While the false prophets were saying that God is a God of second chances for the nation, Jeremiah was saying there is no second chance this time. Your healing will only come by judgment. So by way of conclusion, what I want us to learn today is that through an in-depth study in the ministry of the Old Testament prophets, we see that both politically and religiously, true Christians are going to be outside mainstream thought. The true Christian is going to see the judgment on the horizon way before the religious crowd. And the religious crowd is going to be characterized as saying, "Peace, peace," to those who despise the Lord. Now, this message of judgment is nothing to be depressed about, because we know that the world's judgment is our salvation. Our hope is not the success and the continuation of America. Our hope is the kingdom of Christ. And our desire is for God to do that which will bring the most people into his kingdom. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this program again or other past programs. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for taking the time to listen today. And may God richly bless you with all discernment and fruitfulness as you follow the Word of God. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to be people of the book rather than a people who follow our own imaginations, or follow the way we think religion or politics ought to work. Help us to be willing to have our preconceived ideas challenged and corrected so that we would have the right knowledge. Not for our own sake, but so that we would rightly represent the kingdom of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.